You're listening to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast. Guess what, Donna?
We're on video.
We're on video.
Because it's special.
Oh, I know. So what is so special about today is it is our 52nd episode. And for those of you who don't know, there are 52 weeks in a year, which means it's been a year since I've had to put up with you.
No, I've had to put up with you much longer than 1 year.
Well, that would be true. You have. So it's taken me a while to convince you to follow my ways.
I've given in, but thankfully not on everything you come up with.
Yeah. So for those of you who are listening, we are doing a video of this podcast, and we'll have it up on our website. And we're going to be doing these periodically. I think maybe once a month. We're going to do these on the Blab platform. We'll have a link to all that in the show notes where you can come in and watch it live and even participate within the podcast that we do on those days. So what do you think about that, Donna? Sound good?
It just adds another layer of complexity to production.
You're always thinking about the bad stuff.
No, it's just somebody's got to think about how to actually do it.
That's what the editor's for. Thank you, Bo.
Thank you, Bo. Insert picture of Bo here.
Yeah, I got a great one to put up there.
Let's don't do that one.
Oh, man. So what have we learned in the past year doing this podcast? First of all, we've learned that the first episode is horrible.
We did okay, and we knew we were learning. But we learned that there was a lot more things that we had to learn. Yeah, mm-hmm. You don't know what you don't know till you know what you don't know. We say that all the time.
We do. And it's true with everything, not just mm-hmm. HIPAA.
So we spent a lot of time and tried different equipment. And then thankfully, we found a sound editor who not only got them done quickly and made us sound great and balanced everything, but he also said, change your settings to XYZ. Make sure you have this kind of microphone. Make sure you put it in this place. And, you know, stop moving around and stop scratching your beard, David.
Well, I don't do that.
Yeah, you'll hear him all the time. So,
well, the good thing is he can make us sound better, but he's not going to be able to make us look any better.
No, we're just going.
So we're stuck. We're stuck with that.
Yeah. So what are we? We're doing something special on this episode. Because most of our listeners were gained. Well, let's just say we didn't have the majority of listeners on those first episodes.
Thankfully.
You can go back and listen to them just for the, you know, to acknowledge how much better they are. But we have not really, other than the anecdotal information or where it fits into our conversations, talked about what we actually do with our companies. We interview other companies. So today is a special where we're going to interview each other. It's Help Me With HIPAA, the interview.
Hey, that should be a movie.
Oh, God. No. Okay. So that being said, my man, I think I'm supposed to interview you first.
Go ahead. I'm ready. I stayed up late studying. I've got all the answers.
Because you wrote the question.
You weren't supposed to tell that part.
Well, the good news is we get to make up our own questions as we go. I've already edited what you did. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did notice something was different about them.
Yeah. Mm. They were done right.
What do you mean done right?
Okay, so here's
how can
it
be wrong when I come up with my own questions?
Because you just need to dive deeper.
All right.
So the interview on the HIPAA podcast.
All right, fire away. So apparently I'm not all that familiar with what you might ask then, since you changed my questions.
Okay, so David, tell us about you and Carolina Computer Concepts. What makes you unique as an IT service provider? What would you say?
Because like Tigger, I am the only one. Oh boy. So I don't want to get into too much of the personal me part of it because that's boring, but
Oh no, it's not.
I can say it is. Yeah. Well, I guess I can give you a little bit of background. I am the father of 4 boys and I have a stepson, so that's 5 boys in the house. And before you freak out too much, 3 are triplets. So, you know, it's not like I had some kind of rabbit thing going on.
I think your wife says there's 6 boys in
it. Yeah, yeah, you count me. That's another kid in the house. So I had to buy a dog and get a female dog so there would be more than 1 female in the house. Kind of balance things out. So, yeah. But that's probably why I'm usually crazy and laughing and having put up with 5 kids all the time, I've pretty much made myself crazy.
And gives you an excuse to work and do things like this.
Yep. Yep. Keeps me on top of my game, especially since my four are all teenagers.
Right. And you can't get them to do computer work with Carolina Computer Concepts.
No, but they love gaming. When I talk about computer work, they're going, "Where's the joystick?" Different kind of computer work.
Yeah.
So Carolina Computer Concepts is my IT company. And we are in the upstate of South Carolina, just below Charlotte. So we service the Charlotte, North Carolina market. And we service healthcare and small business. So we do a little of both. We started a long time ago in 98, started doing IT work as pretty much out of my home for a few months. And back then I was in law enforcement. And then as I saw things were kind of taking off a little bit, I decided to open up a storefront. And at that time, quite honestly, didn't know what I was doing. Even a good bit of the IT work I was doing, I had no idea what I was doing. Thankfully, I could look stuff up. That was pre-internet, so it took a library of books that I would go through sometimes. And things were a lot more complicated back then. Just building a computer was not near as easy back then as it is now. So fast forward to today, we don't do residential anymore. We don't have a storefront. We do have a brick and mortar office, but we don't do residential. We don't have walk-ins. Everything we do now is business related only. And we've had healthcare clients for a long time, but as you know, when we started hearing about the omnibus rule coming in 2013, in 2012 is when I stumbled across Dear Old Donna, in my desperate search to find out what was this HIPAA thing. So, if she had known then what she knows now, she would probably not have answered my call when I called her. But anyway, it's a good point to bring up with that is that, you know, I mean, Donna's been in HIPAA stuff since, you know, 1909, but with me... I haven't been in it that long. So, you know, for those of you who think it takes 10 or 15 years to get good enough to where you can tackle HIPAA, it doesn't. I mean, it requires a lot of effort, but, you know, I'm kind of living proof that if I can do it, if I can be familiar enough with it to do what I'm doing with it in just a few years, then certainly most other people can as well. It just takes, it takes a good teacher. So I'm bowing to Donna over the screen.
That's the one and only time, folks. We got it on recorded video and audio. Thank
you. Yep. And so if you're interested in going through the same classes I went through, you know, Donna still has those available and reach out. They were well worth it. Absolutely worth it. And the sad thing is that I think I paid a lot more for it than what it is available for now.
Now, I paid you by the time we were said and done. It was torture. You got way more out of the class than you paid for it. You know you did.
Yeah. So, yeah, a little side note. Donna did, she did live coaching calls. And every time we'd have one, I don't know how many people were in the class because you couldn't see how many other people were in there. But she would be answering questions from other people. And she couldn't see us or anything because it wasn't video. But there was a chat, you know, just like a Skype call type thing. And the whole time she would be answering somebody else's question, I would be sending crazy messages to her.
Like, who is this guy?
And it would just sometimes be just so off the wall stuff. And And she would be trying to answer the question and somebody else had asked and just all of a sudden start laughing and nobody knew really what was going on except for me and her.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, so entertaining. Yep. So
see, now you're able to have all of these HIPAA-covered entities and business associates as clients and know mm-hmm. what to do.
I do, yes.
So what have you learned now that you are going into these sites and you're really understanding what they're supposed to be doing?
I think the scariest thing that I've learned is that I know more than they do about it.
And they're supposed to have been doing it 10 years or more.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if somebody walked into my office and knew more about IT than I did, you know, I'm supposed to know more about what I do than them. Now, you know, don't get me wrong. It's not like I know more about surgery or stuff like that. I mean,
yeah, I mean, you're talking not the clinical staff, but the administrative right. staff.
Right. And I understand they all have a lot on their plate. I get it. Trust mm-hmm. me, I do. I mean, I run a business and a lot of the business processes, regardless of what business you're in, they're all the same. You're overloaded with more to do than you have hours to do it. And so throwing something else in, especially something as big as compliance, is not an easy task. But, because there's always a but. But it has to be done. And when you have something that is as important and big as compliance is, with all that comes with it if you don't do it, mm-hmm. it just amazes me that I can walk in the door and have somebody who, you know, they've been in business for 15 years and they've been around HIPAA for a long time. They knew about it before I even knew what the acronym meant. And they don't really know even the basics.
Well, it's not just that. It's that in their number one, in their mind, they think they do know mm-hmm. Because they know that they have to have this paper that they hand out and everybody signs. And that's what most people know. But it's requiring people to be more involved. I mean, we've always known that they were good at the privacy parts of it mostly, mm-hmm. but not the security part. I mean, we've always known that being around it all the time. So now that you're getting to the point where you're actually supposed to do the security work in these smaller environments, well, in all environments from what we're learning, but you need a HIPAA-compliant IT provider.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have the opportunity to meet with these people, and sometimes you're even meeting with people, not necessarily, you know, talking to them about you taking over the business because they're in, you know, potentially a different market or an area, or for some reason it's not a good fit for you, but you're still telling them what they need to worry about. Not just selling, but telling mm-hmm. or gently nudging.
Sometimes gently. I have had a few times when it had to be a little more than gently.
A little rough. But like Tina Turner.
Yeah.
Proud Mary.
Sometimes it's funny because when I take on a new client, one of the things I'll usually ask them once, you know, we've decided that we're a good fit for each other, I'll usually say, okay, do you like to be easily told something, or do you like for me to shake you and tell you what to do?
Do you want me to make a gentle suggestion or demand?
Yeah. So, but I have learned that most often I don't say anything. I tend to just look at them and shake my head and cover my eyes and just, yeah. And then they know it's bad. But fortunately, uh-huh. I haven't taken on, not yet. I haven't taken on any clients yet that are just so way far off base that like they never started. Most of them have really made an earnest effort. They're just missing the boat sometimes. And I've had a few that I've walked in and I'm like, wow, you're the model business, you know, yeah. You're doing great.
You get excited.
Yeah.
So how do you tell them, hey, I know you're doing this cool thing and you're great, but did you know you're not doing any of these things over here? Because even the best ones, you usually, you know, they don't have written stuff or they don't have training or whatever. Mm-hmm. What do you think you need to tell them more than anything?
You talking about what do I run into that I need to tell them more than anything?
Yeah, what is it that when you're talking with these folks or you go in to a prospect or a client, even your own clients, you know, and you go in and you're looking around or you're evaluating them, what do you see that more miss in their HIPAA-compliant IT process than whether they're not doing something with their vendors or your competitor or, you know, you've been trying to urge them to do something and you can't get them to move. What's that thing that you talk about more than anything with your clients?
I'm going to say that probably, it's probably two specific things. One is I see very little, if no due diligence done for business associates. Even when I walk in the door, a lot of times it's, they're asking me if I have a BAA that they can sign.
And then it's just a matter of signing it. I don't need to know anything else.
Yeah. And then I'll say, well, do you have any kind of due diligence questionnaire, survey? You have any questions for me? And they're looking at me like, why are you asking me this? And I, you know, I say, don't you vet your vendors? And they're like, yeah, we say, are you HIPAA compliant? And they say, yeah. So,
and we talked about that many times.
Yeah. I don't know that I've ran into more than one or two that have given me some type of due diligence to go through. Most of them don't. Mm-hmm. So that's concerning, and I see that a lot. And then the other thing I think too is they don't understand the security of how IT works. Some of them think they do, and some of them know how it was 10 years ago, which is very different.
Yeah.
And so when I come in and I say, because I'm very careful to recommend certain things, because the last thing I want to do is walk in the door as a new vendor and go, hey, we got to spend 10 grand to upfit you and change all these things around because, you know, that's what you need. And in their mind, they're going, we've been functioning fine. And now all of a sudden you're coming in and we're going to spend all this money.
Right.
And I know that one of the things IT companies do sometimes, and they're not, in my opinion, they're not always justified in it, is they come in and start changing a bunch of equipment around because they want it to be the same equipment that they use for everybody else. And I get that. There's benefits for us in doing that because you keep everybody on the same platform. It's easier to manage, easier to keep up with, all that. But at the same time, I'm the type of person who wants to come in and say, let's tackle the tough stuff first, and then mm-hmm. let's move toward where we want to be down the road and whatever the reasonable and appropriate time manner is. So when I come in and I say, okay, we need to replace, you know, this router that you're using that you probably picked up from Office Depot or whatever, it's not a secure router. Yes, it has the word secure on the outside of the box, but it's not a security router. It's not a threat management device. It's not going to give us the reporting. It's not going to give us the features and the power we need to really dial that thing down to a point where we can lock your network down and see what's going on, because that's the most important thing. If you can't see it, you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you come in with these devices, I mean, you know as well as I do, these things they're not $100. They're not $200. You know, they're $600 and $700. And these people, they're used to seeing a $59 router at Walmart, and they're like, wait a minute. You know, I don't understand why we need it. So getting to that point where they're actually understanding the security is a lot more complicated than they think it is, and then monitoring it is even more complicated. It takes a little bit sometimes to get them to that point, because the only thing they see is things are working fine. Why do I need to change?
Yeah, it's kind of like the security and protections in our older cars, you know, back in the day mm-hmm. when Henry Ford was making cars himself. You know, you had the little lap seat belts, but, you know, I remember them being in there. They were like the ones on the plane, mm-hmm. you know, and the car locked, you know, you had one little key and that worked, and you really didn't have to worry about much else. You know, if you live through actually driving, you know, and I stood as a little kid behind my dad's shoulder, my grandfather's shoulder. It was my thing. I stood right there. It's like, early on, I felt the need to be watching what was going on and be prepared to take over. Mm-hmm. But if you compare that to our vehicles today with the remote locks and the low jacks and the, you know, the side protection and the front and the, you know, it's like all of this stuff activates at the thought of trying, you know, you're belted in like you're going to go off in space in some cases, and the airbags are flying at you. You know, your biggest injury is from the airbag hitting you in the face. So it's a dramatic difference, but also think about the number of cars that were on the road back then, mm-hmm. you know, so it's the same difference that you try to get across to them. And the BA due diligence is, hello, you need HIPAA compliant IT.
Absolutely.
And yep. teaching them that. So, but we do need to get on to your other business because you have two.
I have more than two.
Yeah, that's right. I don't want to be involved in some of these other ones you talk about. It's like insane. It's like, why are you doing that?
Because I have this disease called entrepreneurialism.
It's a new idea.
Okay, I can do it. Okay. I got half an hour more a day. I can do it.
Yeah, we're going to reel that in, me and your wife. So, but anyway, the HIPAA for MSPs is what we always talk about when we do the opening here. Mm-hmm. So what got you down that path and what are you trying to do with that kind of deal?
So HIPAA for MSPs is kind of born out of my frustration of dealing with HIPAA. Because what I discovered was when I went through your class and you know, I started learning stuff about HIPAA, I kind of went out there and said, okay, great. You know, I'm certified now, you know, because I didn't know any better. I'm certified in HIPAA. You know, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to walk in the door and I'm going to tell these people I know HIPAA compliance and they're going to just beg me to do their IT work, right? And it was so not the case. And so I ran into a lot of problems applying what I had learned. And of course, you probably remember the phone calls I would call all the time going, okay, I know this stuff, but how do I put it into action? And as I was out on the internet and being in IT forums and things like that, I would see the same thing come up where it was even worse than that because a lot of people, these people never went through a class or anything. So they were asking, you know, what's this HIPAA thing and how do we learn about it and what do we do with it? And so I started seeing this over and over and over again. And, you know, I would try to help some people in the forums as much as I could. But honestly, at the time, I wasn't equipped to do a whole lot. I was just learning it myself.
And yeah, it was like college. You got all you have to do when you finish college is you have the shoes for the rat race. You don't know how to run it yet.
Yeah. So it's almost literally where I would learn something and then spew it back up to other people within a 24-hour period and then learn something, you know, that just-in-time learning stuff,
yeah.
You know, where you study something so that you can teach somebody else.
OTJ.
Yeah. So so I decided to kind of go out on a limb. I contacted... you got your acronyms.
I worked it out. Go ahead.
So I remember reaching out to you and I said, you know, I got this idea and what do you think about it? And you were like, yeah, do it. So
just don't bother me with it.
Yeah. Don't drag me into your schemes, which the first thing I did was drag you into my scheme. And So we started a membership website. And for those of you who don't know, an MSP is a managed service provider, which... And there's a lot of different fields that have a managed service provider, but this is for IT people. So what it is a membership site that provides that information and collaboration and educational part that gives them the training, because fortunately, Cardin has provided the training to us for our members. So they get the training, they go through the whole training class. It's the same training class that I had. It's actually probably on steroids now because it's so much better than it was before. And they get all the training, they get the education, they have access to other MSPs, they have access to Donna, they have access to me. So it's a community that's built around helping improve the IT community that wants to help and get into doing the HIPAA compliant healthcare IT.
Yeah, a lot of these folks that do MSP solutions for HIPAA compliance, all they're doing is giving you some video training and some programs to run.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know? one thing that I've noticed in the IT world is that a lot of the MSPs think that if they are offering HIPAA-compliant vendor solutions, like for instance, they'll find a backup vendor that says our backups are HIPAA-compliant. So they feel like if they take that solution and then resell it, then they can resell it as a HIPAA-compliant solution. When they don't realize that they're kind of the failure point within this, because you can't resell that. It's almost like a legal chain of custody, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go from one person to the next person to the next person and just kind of skip one person as being compliant, the chain has to be...
Unless that one person never sees anything, never touches anything, never has access to a single thing, but mm-hmm. they vet all the other vendors.
Right. Yeah. So that's one thing that I see happen a lot. Or, you know, we've talked about this before, they feel like, oh, well, I signed a BAA. I'm using, you know, the same kind of security router that, you know, David's using, or I'm using the same kind of vendors David's using, so I'm good. And they skip all the other aspects of compliance that they have to do, the policies and procedures and the training and just on and on and on. They skip all that because they don't feel like you have to do all that.
Yeah, it's not necessary. We're good. We're better than HIPAA.
And I mean, sometimes IT-wise, these guys, you know, I say guys, girls, whatever, sometimes on the IT side, I mean, they're jam up, but, you know, it's unfortunately, it takes more than that. They have to be solid with their compliance as well.
Yeah, and there's more, you know, they'll say, well, we're SOC compliant. Okay, well, that's still not HIPAA. That doesn't meet HIPAA requirements.
Right.
And, or our security, no one ever asks us. You know, we know that's our favorite. We talked about that several times. No one ever asks. So it's something that you and I are we try really hard to be a resource that says, you need to understand how to do your own compliance. You need to understand how to do your client's compliance. That's what makes IT services companies very unique when we look at HIPAA compliance, because you have to do your own and you have to do what your clients need. And that's two separate things in a lot of ways. And no other business associate has to do that. Right. Plus, you know, knowing what your clients need is how you have to develop your marketing solutions and all of those things. So we try to give them a roadmap to do that. And, while I give you a hard time, I think it's a very valuable resource. And someday maybe you'll pay me.
Oh, goodness. All right. So that's a good segue into me asking you questions. So get on the hot seat. It's my turn.
I'm ready. I got this.
Oh, you got this. So you're fortunately, you've where I have scaled out, you've scaled down and focused.
I don't have the same ADD issues you do.
Are you sure?
I have them. They just work differently.
We just have more squirrels around here.
Yeah.
What? So anyway, when you and I first met, you had a couple of different things going on, but you've dialed them down now to you're just focusing on Cardin compliance. So tell us, you know, why did you start Cardin compliance and what is the main focus there?
Well, Cardin compliance is focused on privacy and security compliance, you know, managing a privacy and security program is not something that most businesses are geared to do or even understand because it's such a complex environment. And having been around that industry and the business since before HIPAA existed and getting my start, I know, a long time. Let's just say I know 80s music and I can remember when it was hot. I remember Prince's music when it first came out. So,
rest his soul.
Yeah, all that stuff. Whatever. But what's important is that getting to know the industry as deeply as we did doing development, where we would spend time in the practices and with the business associates developing applications that would meet their needs. And then when HIPAA came along, we were doing the transaction code sets and trying to get them to understand what they were supposed to do. Because by that time, I was a consultant out on my own, and the legal company name is Cardin Group LLC. But at one point, we started doing a separate business outside of my consulting business in healthcare. I was bored. You know, I had my ADD issues, and I'm trying to clean them up. But I went and said, okay, I'm going to try, because I didn't do a lot of business locally in Atlanta. I did a lot of stuff all over the place. But then the idea was I'm going to do small business technology support and started a DBA, Card and Technology just to separate that out and define what we were doing. And we were going to specialize in healthcare. And that was in 2010. And that was right after, you know, 2009 is when the high tech really came into play and all the HIPAA stuff was changing. And so I was thinking maybe I should get out of healthcare. And that's where I still joke with today when, you know, I get a business coach to help me set direction for this new entity I'm doing because I want to get out of healthcare. And he's like, well, tell me why you want to do that. So I explain how complicated it's going to be and all these people are going to need things. And I know what's involved, so I'm just going to walk away. And he goes, so what you're saying is there's going to be legal requirements and actively enforced requirements to do things that you are uniquely qualified to do, and you're going to walk away from that. So that's why I started doing the compliance work, and we became so entrenched in that compliance work and see the growing opportunity there. That's why I really started focusing on it in 2012, which is where you came into play, and we were building these programs, and we've had the opportunity. We know people need to be doing it, and we knew that in 2012, and we've been trying to convince people. You know, and we went to our first conventions and did the little expos, like, talk to us about HIPAA. And people would act like we were a pariah, you know. And people would go, swing wide in the, and, you know, it was like, how far away can we get from you? And we were like, honestly, we're not contagious. And so that was in the beginning. But now, you know, people are, we have crowded expo booths because people are starting to get it. Mm-hmm. And so our focus is on providing the services that help you build the program. Because we started out doing the assessments and we had people literally cry because they couldn't answer the questions. And I'm not saying literally as other people say it. I mean, literally. And they didn't know where their documentation was. They didn't understand the questions. They couldn't answer them. So as an, you know, we just kept building things that people were asking for and needing, and we would try things and then, you know, that would work or that wouldn't work or holy crap, that works, but we aren't going to make any money because they can't afford to pay how much time that takes. Mm-hmm. And that's when we also realized we could train IT companies, and we could train software companies and work with them on their compliance programs because we actually understand that world as well as understanding the business associates and covered entities. So we are uniquely qualified to provide medical provide services to the healthcare community while we understand IT and privacy compliance. Whew,
that's a mouthful. Is that your tagline?
That's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful.
Oh, no. That's the site you're working on, right? That'll go along with your new tag.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but for us, it's about, you know, making sure that you can build a functional program that you can manage, and then we're going to help you stay on track or at least nudge you along. So we continue to develop new programs and new methods of doing that because you see people that they'd finish one test. It's like you finish the training class and then you're like, now what do I do? Mm-hmm. You know, and I was having that happen everywhere. And so that's why I'm like, look, you're going to need to go do that on your own. Call me when you're ready. Because we had to deal with that with other business associates in these practices. And then we deal with, you know, we say, here's your risk management plan. Off you go. And then we get a call. Well, I don't understand any of this. And we learn that there's a lot of consultants out there that that's what they do. They come in and do the assessment. They give them a big book, mm-hmm. You know, and they say, here you go. Off you go. See you next year. And that's what they expect most people to do, is to just do that and then walk away. And unfortunately, they end up being able to check off that one thing. Did you do a risk assessment? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I go in, just recently I was going in and they were like, yeah, we got one. Look, here's the notebook. And then I go to the second page after the cover page. And it says, well, it says right here, you're going to perform a risk analysis. Well, let's just say it was a few years ago. Did you do that? Do you have that? Blink, blink. Is all you
it was
get.
In the works.
Yeah. And that's why we called you. Oh, so boy. For us, you know, that's you know, that's how we are able to build these things. Because as soon as you start asking questions, you learn about how much they need. And so you start trying to build something that will work for them. Mm-hmm. But where we can still make a living doing it, we're still trying to figure out the second part.
like we often say, there's a huge difference between being busy and being profitable.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm often busy.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that a lot of this stuff takes a lot of time. And so we're trying to figure out ways that we can replicate ourselves. So things like this podcast, mm-hmm. and even though it's free, it's providing a supplemental thing. So when we're working with somebody and there's a topic that comes up, I can say, go listen to episode blah, 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 or go search for encryption and listen to this part and this part. And then, you know, they can get some information and some training that's already done, and I've duplicated myself and I'm not trying to teach them.
Right. So in essence, it takes some time up front, but in the long run, it'll reduce the amount of time that you spend on certain things.
Well, it's like cloning.
Oh, Lord, I couldn't think about it. Cloning Donna, that would be crazy.
Party!
So what size businesses do you typically deal with or that you'll take on? Because I know there are some businesses out there that do compliance work, and typically they're not going to even walk in the door for, you know, less than a five-figure type contract, and or they don't want to deal with single providers. I mean, it runs the gamut. So what does Cardin usually focus on?
Well, I think that goes back to trying to make it profitable, because, you know, these folks, they have no budget. They have no budget for technology. They have no budget for doing the security and the privacy and the training and all those things. And for years, they wanted to make it easy. And so, you know, that's where my background is dealing with those size businesses as well as much larger ones. So I don't want to walk away from that business like others do. And so we do deal. I mean, we have clients that's a single provider mm-hmm. doing stuff on their own. They might have part-time help, but they have very little assistance, and they're handling the claims and they're handling everything, but they still have to do the work. They still have to secure the information they have.
Right.
So we developed a coaching program that is like an entry-level thing. If nothing else, you can do that, which is we're going to send you videos that say, here's the things you're supposed to worry about. Now go worry about it. And then a video that says, now all those things you're worrying about, here's ways you can handle it mm-hmm. and have an availability to answer a few questions. So we develop things for small providers, and, you know, we have a low-end price that we try to do their assessments, because there's a lot of things, you know, a lot of things you just know are going to be no. Mm-hmm. So that does allow us to do some things for the small ones. However, just like any other business, it's important to, I mean, you have to have, 15 or 20 of those one doctors to equal, you know, what you would normally get in business from, say, six or seven provider group or even bigger. So really we like to be there or bigger. And so our, like I said, our smallest one is that. Our largest ones have hundreds of employees mm-hmm. and multiple locations. So we're able to scale pretty well with what we do because of what we built and that ability to clone. It lets us do it. And you know, I mean, a lot of what we do is go in and try to figure out how you can get into stuff. So that is, it's a good thing because we can work with so many different businesses, and we're actually starting to hear from people outside of medical. Mm-hmm. We've picked up a couple of new clients that want to build they need to build a cybersecurity program, and those require written policies and procedures and documentation. And we talk about, you know, OCR says if it's not documented, it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing applies to any cybersecurity program. So we're doing a lot of policy development, which is so exciting.
Yeah.
I'm loving that. So I'm finding ways to duplicate that next.
All right. So what do you see yourself in Cardin and all that doing, you know, moving forward? Where is it that you're trying to drive this machine?
Off the cliff.
This cloning machine.
It's me and you, Thelma and Louise.
Oh, Lord. I hate to know which one I am. You can't be Bonnie and Clyde. I mean,
oh, no. You have to be the Gina Davis character who comes in and sits down and says, "Now I know what all the fuss was about." And if you don't remember that part of the movie, you need to go watch.
Go watch it again.
Go watch it again. It involves Brad Pitt and her walking into the diner and saying, "Slam, now I know what all the fuss was about." Anyway. So our forward direction involves, you know, continuing to, I think we've finally gotten down to where people understand they're supposed to do this. And, you know, making back that investment we've made just to convince people they're supposed to do it. And now being able to take all of these things that we've learned and not be the fly-by-night solutions and not be the ones that dump the stuff and walk away, but to actually be a partner in your privacy and security programs. So most of everything that we talk about and things that we do is how to further develop and create those solutions that allow us to provide cost-effective advice and training and even compliance officer assistance in a lot of ways. So that's our goal, is to be your partner and also be as reasonable and appropriate for your environment.
I've heard that term somewhere before.
Yeah, we've said that once before.
Oh, boy. So that's a good segue into what are we going to do moving forward with Help Me with HIPAA?
Well, you're the idea guy.
Yeah, but that comes on the fly.
I know, really.
Me on the spot.
You do it as you go.
Yeah. I mean, short of taking over the world, what else are we going to do?
That's always your thing. I think we should take over the world. How are we going to do that, David? You should be a politician because you don't have to figure out how to do it.
No.
You know, around here, I get to be the idea person and then keep going, but I can't do that with you. You're just like, huh? Well, that's a good idea. How are we going to do that? So I think that, you know, we're going to add a lot of things that we're talking about doing to expand what we're capable of providing and the reach of the program. Like this recording will allow us to get out on video sites and YouTube, and hopefully people will watch and listen. Our listener base has grown dramatically, way more than it did, than we had anticipated.
Yeah, I think we were hoping by the end of the first year, which is, you know, this episode, we were hoping to have, what was it, like 500 listeners?
I
think we blew
1,000 downloads or something. Yeah, would be like amazing.
We did that like in 3 months and we're like, whoa.
No, like the second month we had over 1,000 downloads. So we were like, wait. And the first month was just like a week.
Yeah.
Because we officially started in May releasing stuff. And but it was right around Memorial Day. So needless to say, we were surprised with a lot of things, like how much effort it takes. It's a lot more effort than we thought.
I know.
How quickly you can grow, what kinds of things you need to have. But, you know, you can podcast. I mean, we're both podcasting right now and doing the video feed from home,
mm-hmm.
you know, with our equipment, and no one believes it. So I've had people ask, do you use a production company? Yeah, it's Bo.
Yeah.
A little Croatian buddy. But I see we're developing a program that we cannot name yet. But
we have not named it.
We have not named it yet. But it's tools to augment the podcast to allow you to use them in your training programs.
Oh, that's the acronym you said I couldn't use.
That's right. That's the one. Yeah. Workforce training feed we cannot use. No.
I thought it was good.
I like it, but I know it won't pass the powers that be. You know, and we don't talk about my wife a lot because she doesn't like being talked about, but she's like our, what do you call it, the FCC? You know, it hits the bleep button on us, or edit that out, Bo. So she's the car of Cardon. So Cardon is Carla and Donna, and so she's, we're very good aunts. And this is 25 years together, which is surprising to most people who knew me before I met her and to people that know me now. But she has a certain amount of conservative viewpoints on what you can and cannot say in public. And workforce training feed, I haven't even run it by her because, well, I could just try the name and then not say the acronym. But we're looking at developing things that will be low cost because we understand that. But a subscription where you're getting those constant updates for security awareness and training programs that you need in your office for your workforce. That's a big thing. Adding the video, we're talking about doing some live recordings and so that you can join in and attend the webinars and ask questions about the topics. And we're going to offer a wide variety of things to expand on the things that we're doing. Because we do have people that are interested, and we get these emails, and we're getting emails about, hey, can you do a topic about this? So, and I'm starting to get backed up on topics. So, and, you know, at the rate that they're doing, they've released two more resolution agreements this week. And, you know, we've got the audits going on. So there's so much activity. And we're trying to find a lot of new ways to get those things out there, teach people, engage people, and hopefully continue to be the place where HIPAA and humor collide.
You bring the HIPAA, I'll bring the humor.
Is that your job?
I guess. For now.
Yeah. It's like Abbott and Costello.
There you go. Ooh. Putting me somebody else again.
I like you. Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking that's going to work. We can be a lot of things. Hey, I'm not calling you Mr. Ed. And only people our age have ever seen Mr. Ed.
Yeah, you're right.
The amazing Mr. Ed.
So everybody's got a lot to look forward to then. And
hope so.
And you got a lot of work to do, so let's get off this podcast so you can get to work.
Yeah, remember, I'm the content person.
Yeah.
You got problems with the website? Blame David.
Yeah, thanks. So, all right. Anyway, that's our episode for today. I'd like to thank everybody for listening and watching. So, if you liked today's episode, head over to iTunes and review it. Give us a 5-star review. We much appreciate it. And for those of you who keep asking me to stop asking for reviews, I will not stop asking for
reviews. I cannot.
I think it's a running joke because it's people, I think they get a kick out of saying, it's like the first thing they say when they talk to you is, oh, by the way, I did review it. So,
or before they ask, I have not done a review, but I will. That's what we always hear. I will.
Yeah. So people use that as a way to kind of poke at us. So we enjoy it. But head over to iTunes, share us out on social media. Don't forget to visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. And if you have a question, you can leave it right there on our page. And we might feature it in a future podcast. Anything else, Donna, before we close our 1-year episode?
No. It's been a hard year.
Nothing profound.
It's been a hard year. It's been a hard year, but I'm glad we made it through it.
I thought it was pretty easy, but shaking your head. But I'd like to thank all the listeners because, you know, I know you hear this with every public acceptance speech, but honestly, if it weren't for the listeners, we wouldn't be doing this because Donna would say, "I don't have time for this anymore," and so it would go away. So thanks for the listeners. Thanks for showing up every single week and downloading and listening and sending us emails and participating because you are what makes it all worthwhile. So for Donna and myself, remember that HIPAA is not about compliance. It is about...
It's about patient care. Care.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.